a rush to get a new trade deal with Europe approved before the next president gets in. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Obama is in Europe pushing for a new trade deal, not with Pacific Rim countries, which had been the controversial topic in 2015, but now with Europe. The awkward trade acronym of the moment is TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which the president and his German counterpart Angela Merkel discussed in Hanover, Germany this weekend. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is in London.
The kind of thing they're talking about includes trying to eliminate most tariffs because, for the most part, those tariffs are relatively low in the United States and the European Union. A bigger area is what is seen as regulatory cooperation. And the idea ultimately there is to enable a firm in, say, Germany to be able to comply with German regulations and know that their goods would also be approved for sale in the United States. So it's the idea that you can make trade more attractive to do if you reduce the cost by ensuring that businesses only have to comply with one set of standards. That gives you some flavor of what the key things are that the negotiators are looking at.
President Obama and German Chancellor Merkel were meeting about this, and there was a sense that time is of the essence. Why is that?
Because of your political cycle, David. President Obama is indeed very keen to get this done. Europe is very keen on that too, and I think they're rather worried that that the next president, whoever he or she might be, will not share President Obama's conviction. And so I think the hope is held by both President Obama and by European negotiators that there will be a deal at least signed so that it will be very difficult for the next president to unpick it.
The BBC's Andrew Walker, thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
A new study looks at what's in it for the employer when companies help pay for the education of employees. The numbers are from the Lumina Foundation, which works to get more Americans access to post-high school education. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
The study looks at tuition reimbursement at the health insurance company Cigna. Jamie Marisotis is Lumina Foundation's CEO.
The return on investment from Cigna's program, we found, was 129%.
That's from personnel cost savings, explains Karen Coker, Cigna's chief learning officer.
We are definitely more likely to retain people if they've participated in the program.
The study also finds those employees are more likely to earn promotions than those that didn't participate. Separate data from the Society for Human Resource Management shows just over half of companies offer educational assistance. Bruce Elliott tracks benefits there and says that isn't as high as in the past. But cuts in training funding during the recession are starting to reverse.
Now that the market has started to turn, we're starting to see employers begin to invest again in tuition assistance programs.
He adds younger workers in particular are interested in upgrading their skills, so tuition assistance can help attract and retain the next generation of talent. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
During the Pleistocene epoch, when woolly mammoths ruled the earth, I was once the weakest link on the Waterville High School mathematics team. If only there had been a personal finance competition. They exist now, and look who is one of the judges. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, who joins us from St. Paul.
I have been judging in Minnesota the Minnesota Personal Finance Decathlon State Championship for high school teams. This is a personal finance competition. They get this problem. So it's a couple, they're getting married, he has credit card debt, she has savings, cars are falling apart. This is the kind of question they were dealing with. When I was in high school, there is no way I could have dealt with these questions.
So many high schools do not teach personal finance. Some do. Give me a sense of some of the better practices that you've seen.
So the better practices, there's a Center for Financial Literacy in Champlain College in Vermont, and they've been doing a rating of the states around the country, and they give an A to five states. They require one semester of personal financial education in their high schools. Only five states require one semester of personal finance education. We need a lot more than that.
Which is a shame, because education is about people's future. And if you have a big debt load, your range of motion is limited.
particularly if you're coming from a low-income family. I mean, one of the things about this financial literacy is that it will help break cycles of poverty. You're coming out of a low-income family, and you know, you're not attached to mainstream products, mainstream financial institutions. There's lots of predatory lenders. And so what financial education can help is to avoid these predatory lenders, to avoid a lot of this high-cost debt, and to start building assets.
Yeah. If you don't have a ton of debt, then you might be able to take advantage of some opportunities, as opposed to if you have a whole bunch of debt and you're servicing past expenditures, you might not be able to take advantage of this stuff.
You're absolutely right. When you launch your career, you want to have freedom. You don't want to be paying for those steep debts that you took on the past that you really weren't sure, why did I take this on? Except for, boy, it was so easy and everyone told me I was going to be able to pay it back. And it's actually hard to do.
All right. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And British researchers believe hackers got into what's called the SWIFT system, the software platform that's at the heart of the global financial system. The news agency Reuters says the intruders are the same data thieves who stole more than $80 million from the Central Bank of Bangladesh in February. SWIFT is a co-op of 3,000 financial companies. It's going to issue a software update to help enhance security, Reuters says. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.